This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. We pray and plea for Allah's mercy and His blessings in this waqt of Jumu'ah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to forgive us, to pardon us. We send our greetings and love and salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be upon the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to bless us in this time of year. For those of us who've written exams, may Allah grant us tawfiq, success in our exams, to our kids in school and varsity. May Allah put all the khair and barakah in their studies. May Allah bless our youngsters and all of us even in this time that's fun. May we enjoy this holiday time in goodness, in khair, and not to be distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah put barakah in our health, our rizq. And for those who have passed away, may Allah grant their maghfirah. May Allah make their qabr wide. May Allah bless them in their graves and grant mercy for their families. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. It's always good to be back. I've been away for 2 weeks. I don't know if you noticed. If you didn't notice I was missing for 2 weeks, then I think you need to think about that when you get to Jumu'ah. He says, Sheikh, gone for 2 weeks. Who wasn't giving the khutbah? Right. So, Alhamdulillah, we say shukran to Sheikh Abdullah Lakay, who stood in 2 weeks ago, and Mawlana Ashik, who stood in last week, Alhamdulillah. And subhanAllah, I see I've left and there's some action here in the book up. We have to discuss those things, and may Allah subhanAllah make it easy for us in this community. Make dua that Allah subhanAllah keeps this community safe. Ameen. We continue with our series on this risk management series, or the series on the risk. And we spoke over the past couple of weeks, beginning to ask the question, with times being tough, everyone is feeling the pinch. No matter how much you have, we feel the pinch. How can we make our rizq go further? Because we believe, as Muslims, it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. Ultimately, it comes down to the barakah Allah has put in. Allah can make that 10 rand go very far. Or Allah can make that 10 million rand go nowhere. It comes down to the blessings from Allah. And if you remember, I mentioned, and this is subhanAllah, something to always keep in mind, that wealth is just a test. Every single one of us are being tested in terms of wealth. Why? Because at the end of the day, the way you began is the way you end. You began with nothing, and you die with nothing. So that 60 years is just a test. Some of us are currently being tested with poverty, or our rizq is, our sustenance is, seems to be insufficient. We are being tested with having too little. Others are being tested with having too much, or having more rizq. You one of the two. You and I are tested in one of those two things. And as we said before, the more difficult test is the man who actually gets rizq, more rizq. That is the very, very big test. That's harder. It's a lot harder to be a good person with rizq than to be a person who struggles with poverty. It's easier to struggle with poverty. So may Allah allow us to pass this test. And we realize that success, even though we live in a society that says to you, success is the car you drive, the suburb you live, the number in your bank account, in the world we live in, if those things are correct, then you're a successful person. Allah doesn't look at those things. Allah doesn't care about those things. And wallahi, when we get to the day, and may Allah grant us the ability that before we reach our qabr, we have time to reflect, we'll also realize that our life is not going to come down to the assets we've owned, or the holidays we've traveled, or the accumulation that we've made. We'll look back and we'll look at the deeds we've accumulated, the relationships that we had, asking who's going to make dua for me once I pass away. How many people are going to make dua against me? Subhanallah. How many claims will be against me? Those are the things that will ultimately matter. And that's always the forefront discussion that we have in our mind. That is what is true success. That is what counts ultimately. But of course Allah says to us, وَلَا تَنْسُوا نَسِيبَكُمْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget that you live in the dunya. You need to survive in the dunya. And even to want comforts and enjoyment of the dunya is permissible. We as Muslims believe to want rizq, to want money, to want a nice car, to want a big house, to want to travel and enjoy yourself in a halal way, alhamdulillah, no problem. Permissible. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So long as you earn your money in a halal way, and you spend it in a halal way, then even earning and spending money becomes an act of ibadah. For the one who seeks his rizq in a good manner, then that 8 hours a day you're sitting in the office is actually worship. You are being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last week, Mona Ashik began discussing, how can I make my rizq go further? How can I put barakah in my rizq? How can I get extra, and the extra that I get, inshallah, let it go further. And subhanallah, you had a Jummah khutbah on rizq last week, and if you put this into implementation, you found your payday followed immediately after that, alhamdulillah. Some of you may even got a bonus, so alhamdulillah. Look at that, subhanallah, look at that. Allahu Akbar. Monash mentioned a few points in terms of from the Quran, what Allah says. And remember, this is the beautiful thing. Sometimes we think, and this is where iman comes into play. Allah will tell you, you want more, give more charity. You want more money, avoid this haram transaction, even though it's going to make you big bucks. Because Allah knows and we don't know. And Allah is the giver. Allah is the one that gives. He opens the taps and He closes the taps. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and Munashik mentioned this, number one, istighfar. Nabi Nuh told his people, make tawbah for the sins that you've done. Even though, and think about this, I've made some sin, may Allah forgive you, may Allah forgive me. You think back of the sin that you made. You ask Allah, forgive me for the sin I've made. You don't ask for rizq. You don't ask, Ya Allah, give me money, give me children, give me rain. Allah automatically gives you those things when you make istighfar. Without you even asking for it, it's a side effect of istighfar. So Nabi Nuh says to his people, say, ask Allah for your for forgiveness, He will give you rain and children and money and gardens and rivers. Now in the past, as Monashik mentioned, when you told people in the desert, you will get gardens and rivers. It's like for us, Allah is saying, you're getting factories and offices and buildings in our time. Just make istighfar. Just 70 times a day maybe, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. You will get forgiven and you will get rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, was number two, Munashik said, seek knowledge. Because as you seek knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. And this is not just from a taqwa sense. We know the more qualified you are in the dunya sciences, you'll become successful and prosperous. Whichever place you are on earth, the person who is qualified, naturally, other blessings will be attracted to him. So for our youngsters here, we taught from our Sharia. We began with Iqra. Knowledge will always, inshallah, bring other benefits. Knowledge will give you strength and izzah in the dunya and in the akhirah. Allah mentions this in the Quran when Allah says, He raises up darajat, levels, those who have iman and those who are given knowledge. If you have knowledge and you devote yourself to learning, whether it is dunya sciences or akhirah sciences, you will find the barakah, the blessing in the dunya and the akhirah. Knowledge is that blessing. And we said though, and we said this, and something to think about as we come to the end of the term, it is a strange kind of blessing, knowledge. A very unique kind of blessing. It is the only blessing that we know of that you cannot get for free. You can be born with wealth. You inherit from your dad. You can even be born with kingdom. You can be the heir. Your dad dies, you become the king. You can even be born with iman. Be a born a Muslim. Allah can give that to you for free. But He will not give knowledge for free. You will, every single person will start with zero. You need to start from Alif Bata ABC. That's the one blessing Allah does not give for free. So it shows you Allah puts a premium on knowledge. And if you learn it, naturally other blessings will come. Allah, and as Mawlana Ashik mentioned, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّكِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُكُهُ مِنْ خَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبًا. I like this ayah, when Allah subhanahu says, whoever has taqwa of Allah, and is conscious of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for him. Now you find yourself in a bit of a fix. May Allah make it easy for any of us who are in that situation. Things are but constrained, and now it looks attractive to take some kind of haram loan, haram kind of business dealings. The job looks good, but there's some grey area. Allah, this is where your taqwa comes in. Yes, I want that. I need that even. But Allah says, whoever fears and is conscious of Allah, He will make a way for you where you had not thought of. Allah will give you a way out. When you think, Ya Allah, all the doors are closed, it's so easy for me to just take this thing that's haram here. Just to take some of that money. No one knows, no one will find out. But if you maintain that taqwa, Allah says, I will open a way for you, you could not even imagine. And Allah says, وَيَرْزُكُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. He will give you rizq from an area, from a way you never thought there was. Beneath your feet, above the sky. From a place you never thought. Allah says, I will give it to you. Because you remember, the razaq, you cannot get a rizq if you disobey the giver of rizq. Can't happen. And that's the taqwa, that's the belief of the believer. That's what makes us Muslims. We submit to Allah first. And we believe that this is the true tawakkal. Ya Allah, I've done everything, I've done it according to the book. Everything, the numbers don't add up. I've done my part as you have commanded me. The accountant says it's not going to work. Everyone says it's not going to work, but I put my trust in you. I've done my part, now it's for you to give. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. And that is true tawakkal, dependency on Allah. When Ashik mentioned some other points, the one who goes for Umrah and Hajj regularly, you'll find that his risk increase. And subhanAllah, it's very, very expensive to go for Umrah and Hajj. We know that. Very expensive. And I see this year, we were thinking of having a Hajj or Umrah class. Usually there's a demand. No one came forward to say, is there Umrah class? Because I imagine it's expensive for people. Understandable. For those who would like to have an Umrah class, please message me afterwards if there's enough. We'll have an Umrah class maybe in the next weeks or two to come. Even if you just want to come for the sake of coming, who knows, subhanAllah, you do the Umrah class with a niyyah, one day I will go. Allah gives you the reward of it, and He might even open the door for you. But one of the benefits of Umrah and Hajj, and I say this regularly because I've seen it, there are brothers that take 40, 50 years to save up for their first Umrah or their first Hajj. They go for that first Hajj, then they go next year, and the year after that, and the year after that. Now, subhanAllah, it becomes repetitive. Where did that money come from? This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ mentions as well that if you want rizq, strengthen your family ties. There's another hadith where the Prophet mentions a person who is bad, he's a sinner, he's a criminal. Yet you might find Allah gives him rizq. Why? Because he was good to his family. He was good to his family. Maybe things are tough in my bank account, your bank account, because there's a mother, a sister, an auntie, some person in our family we haven't done justice to. And Allah is withholding that until we fix that. No matter how many hours you work, that rizq is not going to come, because that's the problem. You've got some family member whose rights you've taken. Some family member that you have not connected with. Now, very important, when we spoke about this a few months ago, the Prophet ﷺ says, keeping family ties is not to be good with the one that's good to you. It's easy to be okay with a brother that you get along with, the uncle that you can have a laugh with. But the keeping family ties is to be good with the one that cuts you off. That is the true test of taqwa. That is truly the thing that is difficult. So do that, inshaAllah. You think, how am I going to earn money? You know, I don't have enough, the bills are not being met. Maybe all it takes is a phone call to a relative you haven't spoken to in a long time. With a niyyah, Ya Allah, you told me this is where my risk is. I'm searching it in the way you've told me. And who is best to fulfill his promise than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Mona Ashik mentioned, and Allah, and he says this, that one of the points of getting risk is marriage. Now, many people will say, before marriage, alhamdulillah, life was easy. I had more than sufficient. Now that I'm married, Ya Allah, things are difficult. And for those brothers that are about to get married, it will be difficult. So we need to balance this. This discussion requires two sides of it. The Prophet says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those who are able to get married, an ability here means physical ability, maturity. It also means financial ability, especially for the husband. You will have the responsibility of nafaqah, meaning you need to see to this lady's maintenance, her food, her clothing, her medical needs, to the standard she's accustomed to. So if you took her from Rondebosch, you have to keep her in Rondebosch. Right? That's the idea. That's the ideal. Of course, if she says, no problem, I'm willing to downgrade for now. You know, temporarily, that's a downgrade now, right? This is not the default. That's always the promise. Then it's permissible. So nikah will always be constraining on the husband. It will be so. But we also understand that when you do things in a halal way, and we live in a society where we're constantly bombarded by haram. So when we protect ourselves in that institution of nikah, We stay away from haram, number one, which puts barakah in our dealings. Allah wards off calamities. We know that intimacy that you spend with your wife is actually a sadaqah, a charity. It's a charity, we know that. That, you know, we said this many times, subhanAllah, one of the best, easiest ibadah to fulfill is to be intimate with your wife. And it's regarded as a charity. And we know, when whoever gives charity, Allah will put barakah and rizq in you. And beyond that, rizq, you'll find in the Quran, when Allah talks about your wealth, al-mal wal-banoon, children, and perhaps those of us who have kids, we know, no amount of money on earth equals your children. And you can only get that through nikah. So Allah will open new channels of rizq. It might not be that your bank account goes up, but other forms of wealth will come to you. Other forms of happiness that you could not experience. Other forms of prosperity that you will not experience. We live in a time, as I said, where the only thing that matters is the money in your account. You can be a miserable, horrible, terrible person, but because you've got a billionaire next to your name, you're seen as successful. Islam says no. Success is a lot bigger than that. And marriage is one of those things. In fact, look at this hadith. I love this hadith. Prophet ﷺ says, the world is filled with mata', delights, filled of treasures. This dunya is full of enjoyable things. But the thing that will bring you the best enjoyment, oh brothers, is to have a righteous wife. That when you look at her, she brings happiness to you. There is no treasure on earth that will equal to that. No amount of money on earth will be able to buy you that feeling. That when you just look at her, you are happy. Now that is true wealth. So may Allah bless us in our marriage. That we are all kings in our marriage. That we all feel that blessings, that even though the bills are a bit tight, but we have the happiness that even the kings experience better than them in that nikah. Alhamdulillah. Last week, Mawlana Ashik mentioned that of the ways in which we get barakah is our seeing to the poor. And in fact, it's more than just the poor, it's giving charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, subhanAllah, look at this ayah. When you put money in the tawi in the masjid, you make some EFT online, you give the beggar on the street something, you didn't give money away. Look what Allah says. Allah says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِدُ اللَّهَ كَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who will give Allah a loan? Allah is asking you and me, who will give me a loan? Allah is asking you, who gives me a loan? You are not giving the beggar, the masjid, the imam, the student of knowledge, the poor lady. You're not giving them money. You're giving Allah a loan. Allah will take it as a loan means He will give it back to you. And Allah says, who will give Allah a loan? So He may multiply it for Him many times. So Allah can multiply it for you and then give it back to you with interest. So Allah is allowed to pay interest and dividends. We can't pay interest, we can't receive it, but Allah pays interest. So whenever you give charity, there's a famous proverb, no one is made poorer through charity. You're not made poorer through charity. You only get richer in the dunya and in the akhirah. And this is our iman. This is our iman. In fact, the word zakah, to purify, it also means to grow. You're giving, but I'm being, how am I growing? Because your money is going to grow through that. Allah is going to put barakah in it. Allah is going to make your assets go further. Allah is going to make calamities turn away. And that dua, as the scholars have said, what price can you put on the dua of someone who was starving? You brought them something to eat and now they make that sincere dua, Ya Allah, bless him in his business. How much is that worth? How much is that worth? SubhanAllah. It's contrary. You give a poor person an ugly treatment and they make dua against you. Now that's something that we think about. As Muslims, we're conscious about these things. Allah says, and we know this is a very famous parable in the Quran. The likeness, the example of the one who spends, Allah gives you an example. This is the minimum return. So you know when we talk about investments, yeah, okay, I put my money with you, 1,000 rand, after 1 year, how much you're going to get? So maybe best case 10%, you give 1,000 rand, we'll give you 1,100 rand. That's best case. Allah says, the example of the investment with Allah, the one who spends his wealth for Allah's sake, is like the one who gives a seed, a grain. And that grain then grows into a plant that has 7 stalks. In each stalk is 100 seeds. So you gave one seed, you got 700 seeds back. You give 1 rand, Allah gives you 700 rand back. 1,000 rand, Allah gives you 70,000 rand back. Right? This is the way in which Allah works. SubhanAllah. So this is the minimum with Allah. The maximum, what's the maximum? There is no maximum. There is no maximum with Allah. Allah will give without limit. So never ever feel that poverty, never ever feel that charity will diminish you. Perhaps the reason why you and I, our money is not going further is because we haven't given charity in a long time. Maybe when we work our budgets for the year, or budgets for the month, we should say, at least 100 rand is part of my charity. And the scholars, subhanAllah, and the pious people of old, they had it within them. Whenever they received rizq, they gave a fraction of it out. Because then they understood to Allah. That's their shukr, number one. That's number one. They say to Allah, Ya Allah, I thank you. Praise be to you. This came from you, and now this is my obligation. I'm going to give to someone less fortunate. That kind of appreciation. And then, you know, we don't give to Allah examples, but think about this. If you have two kids, one that is wealthy, one that's not so wealthy, and the wealthy brother gives just a little bit to his not so wealthy brother, how do you feel as a parent? You would want to give more even to the generous one. You even want to give more. And lillahi mathal a'la, Allah doesn't have children, but we are all His creation. And when He sees one creation looking after the other one, Allah will give you even more. The next thing that was mentioned last week, and we add on to this, and this is perhaps one of the areas we need to really focus on, is to be honest in our business dealings. But we live in a time, a strange kind of time, where we have very highly professional people. I look at very qualified professional people. And we perhaps even more qualified than our parents. We are a grade above our parents in terms of the degrees that we have, the jobs that we have. Our parents, well, alhamdulillah, even our grandparents, very simple people. Yet their wealth had seemed to be better than ours. What they were able to achieve in their life, in terms of their community, in terms of the masajid they've built, in terms of the amount of hajj that they went on, umrah they went on, even the journeys they went on. Even subhanAllah, they had 10 children. We think, how am I going to survive if I have one extra child? It just doesn't add up. But they had these big families. No one went hungry. They all went to school. They all went to university. SubhanAllah. Where did this barakah come from? How is it possible? Because at least the man, he says, I was honest in my business dealings. That not one cent I earned was haram. I didn't take the haq of anybody. And that's something that will bring barakah in your business, in your dealings. If you work and you buy and sell, make sure that no one can point the finger at you in the dunya or the akhirah that you took the haq of someone else. And if you work for a boss, you and I work in a company, our time belongs to that company. Our time belongs to that boss. That company has a haq on us. That salary was not deficient. They paid us the full salary. So we need to give our full due attention and care. Whether the boss is there or not, whether you're alone, you give that full commitment because that's what you paid for. That's the haq of someone else. Allah says about this kind of thing, وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe to the one who is fraud, who deals in fraud. Who is he? الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. They are the ones when they have to receive their share, they take full measure. When they must get their salary, or they must get their profit, they take the full price, not 1 cent less. If you get 1 cent, 1 rand less in your bank account, you phone HR, where's my money? Right? If it comes 1 hour late, we phone, where's that money? We need to do some recon here. But when they have to give their part of measure or weight to men, they give less. They don't give their full 100%. Everyone needs to look at that. It's a scary hadith. Allah says, of the three people that Allah will, or the Prophet ﷺ will be a witness against him on Qiyamah, the day of Qiyamah, that even though you pass the test, the courtroom is passed, then someone says, and I object, this man can't go to Jannah. I want to stand against him. One of that is that when a laborer works for you and he's done his job and you don't pay him his full due. On Qiyamah, that is zulm. How you treat your domestic worker, how you treat someone that you have owed a bill to. You maybe you're an artisan. How many of us, subhanAllah, it's sad that Muslims have gotten a bad reputation. I'd rather work with a company, with a professional company, than the Buddha. Because the Buddha is going to give me a kanala job. You heard that. Or the Buddha is going to say, no problem. It's 1,000 rand. And you get a bill, 10,000 rand. No, there was this, there was that. This was not the way we were known before. We knew that if you go to Pang, he's going to give you an honest deal. Quality work, honest work, and he won't cheat you. Barakah in the way we do things. Allah says to us, Do they not think that they will be called to account on a mighty day, a day when all mankind will stand before Allah? So be ready to account with Allah. I tell you, there's nothing more stressful than an audit in the dunya. You don't want to be audited by Allah on the day of Qiyamah. You don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to question us on that day about where this came and how that went. So be honest in the dealings. The hadith was mentioned last week that Allah said, that the Prophet says that when two people transact, when they buy and sell, whatever it might be, and as long as they don't separate and they are truthful and honest in explaining the defects, they say, you know what, I'll tell you the truth. This car has so much mileage, this property has that. You tell the full story. I explain everything, nothing is hidden. Then Allah will bless them in that transaction. Allah will put barakah in that transaction. The money you earned as the seller, Allah will put barakah in that. And the property you acquired as the buyer, Allah will put barakah in that. But if they lied and they cheat one another, then Allah will take the blessings out of it. That car will break after just a few days. That money will disappear. Where did it go? Some additional things that we mentioned this week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that our purpose in life is what? Is ibadah. Is to worship Allah. Not to acquire money. Acquiring money is part of life, but it's not the reason for living. And when we live to acquire money, then we've lost the plot. Look at this hadith. The Prophet says that Allah says these words. O son of Adam, take time out. Allah's not saying 24/7 be in ibadah. Allah's not even saying 50% for the dunya, 50% for me. That's fair. Allah says, no, live your life. Do what you need to do, but put some time aside for me. Take some time out to worship me constantly, consistently. Make your 5 salahs. Do a little bit of extra. If you do that, I will fill your chest with wealth, with richness. You will feel wealthy inside. And Allah will remove your poverty. Look at this hadith. The more ibadah you make, the more time you give to Allah, He promises He will put wealth in your heart and remove poverty. But if you don't do that, Allah says, then I will make your hands filled with occupation and you will not remove your poverty. Meaning, you will be busy. You will have extra work. You will do more hours at the job. But your money will not increase. You will toil harder and harder and harder, but your rizq will not go further. Don't let your job take you from the rights and the haqq of Allah. Never ever let it be said that I can't make my salah because I'm at work. No. Allah's haqq on salah comes first. Never ever let it be said, alhamdulillah, we don't live in a situation like this. From Australia, for example, I must have some feedback where I was. Many people, unfortunately, Allah make it easy for them, we don't judge them. They don't go to Jumu'ah because I can't go, it's job. My boss won't allow me to do so. We're very fortunate. But many people have that. It's my work. Now, if Jumu'ah is not sacred enough, if Salah is not sacred enough, if Ramadan I can't fast because I have work to do, then what is our purpose for Allah's sake? Then what are we doing in this dunya? And Allah says, you won't get that rizq. So take some time for Allah. Another hadith, the Prophet says, your Lord, glory and honor be to Him. He says, O son of Adam, take the time out to constantly worship me. I will fill your chest with richness, O son of Adam. Do not distance yourself from me, or I will fill your hearts with poverty and fill your hands with work. You'll be busy and poor. Lose, double loss. In the ayah, when you're remembering Allah, and you must also search for your rizq. So not only is it just that we go and we remember Allah, we also look for the rizq. And the beautiful example is Surah Jumu'ah. Surah Jumu'ah, the ayah of the waqt of Jumu'ah is a good example. The reference is wrong, Surah Muzammil, Surah Jumu'ah. Allah explains this. So what happened was, the Sahaba came for Jumu'ah like this. And things had been a bit tough, and a big caravan came in. The big caravan came into Medina. And many Sahaba actually jumped up from Jumu'ah, and they went to the caravan. Only a few companions sat down, about 14 of them. And that's why some madhahib says the minimum amount of people in Jumu'ah is 14. Only a few sahaba remained. Others jumped up and actually went out to go see the business. So Allah revealed ayat. Allah says, oh, you who have believed. When the adhan is called for the salah on the day of Jumu'ah, then come to the remembrance of Allah and leave off your business. Close your shop. Leave your job. When it's waqt of Jumu'ah, everything, your job must close. Side note here, can you leave your business open and you in Jumu'ah? Can you do that? What do you think? Yes, you can. you have to be in Jumu'ah, but say your wife or someone else, it's permissible to have the business running, but you need to be in Jumu'ah. You need to be in Jumu'ah, it's permissible. But alhamdulillah, our forefathers had this heightened level of taqwa. Allah says, close the business, I close it. And that level of taqwa, perhaps Allah gave them in other ways of barakah. That's a good thing. And then they told the people, Friday, I know, it's the busy time of day. 12 to 2, heart of transactions, is Jumu'ah now. Come after 2. Alhamdulillah. That's where the barakah comes in. So Allah says then, leave that your business and come to the remembrance of Allah and leave your trade. That is better for you. You're going to see that in your business, in your family, in the dunya and the akhirah. If only you understood. If only you understood how good it is for you. And when the prayer has now been done, when khalas Jumu'ah is done, and I know, 1:30, I must be done. When the prayer is done, then go, Allah says, then disperse within the land and seek the bounty of Allah. And so look for Allah's rizq. No problem. Go and look for the rizq of Allah. And remember Allah while you are working, still remember Allah a lot. So that you may succeed. If you want to be successful in your business, Allah says, keep remembering Him. Even in your shop, in your business, at work, remember Allah. Then Allah says to the Sahaba, but when they saw a transaction or a diversion, they rushed to it and left you standing. So Allah says to you, say, what is with Allah is better than the diversion and the transaction. And Allah is the best of those who provide. He is the one that's going to give you. Don't take the haq of the razik, the one who gives, in search of rizq. You will not get rizq except from Allah. So seek your haq. So Allah shows you in this ayah, go and look for your rizq. But when the time of Jumu'ah comes, you be here, close your businesses, avoid your business, you come to Jumu'ah. And when it's done, alhamdulillah, go and remember Allah, and then He will give you double, extra in that. The Prophet ﷺ reminds us, one of the ways of acquiring rizq is to always remember the akhirah is more important. So the Prophet says, whoever puts this world as his primary objective, then Allah will divide his affairs, meaning Allah will make his life difficult. And He will place, and we said this before, He will place poverty in His eyes, and nothing will come from His world except that which was already written for Him. His rizq will not increase. But whoever made the akhirah his goal, then Allah will make his affairs easy, and Allah will put riches in his heart, and the world will come to him, and they will be submissive to him. The dunya will submit to you. Think about this. You make Allah first, Allah will give you the dunya and the akhirah. You know, we're talking about this, if you look at the Muslim lands, the Muslims, unfortunately, there was a time when we commanded, we had the akhirah and the dunya. We had the best of this and that. Today, we've lost the way we look, not where we should be in terms of the akhirah, Allah knows best, but we've lost the dunya as well. Why did we lose the dunya? Why have we gone backwards financially in terms of education? With us, Allah will not allow us to move forward in the dunya unless we keep our deen. You will not acquire this dunya except through Allah, for a Muslim, in particular the Muslim. And it's out of Allah's love for us sometimes that because we forgot Him, He withholds the dunya. Because imagine you forgot Allah and then He gave you the dunya. You will have no reason to come back to Him. You won't want to come back to Him. Only on the day of Qiyamah. And then you are really lost. So as a mercy, when we forget Allah, He withholds, just to make us remind. But when we give ourselves to Allah, He will give us the dunya and the akhirah. You will get the dunya as a byproduct of your ibadah. Time is running up. Some other points here, Surah Kaf. We know the story. Nabi Musa, greatest Nabi of Allah, one of the greatest of the Anbiya of Allah. He doesn't have a cent in his pocket. With him Khidr, one of the great either prophets or awliya of Allah, who knew many of the unseen, not a cent in his pocket. They need to cross a river or a sea. They don't have money for public transport. So a poor family of fishermen took them on the ship. And then we know Khidr broke and damaged the ship. Why? Because later down the line, a king was going to come and claim all the ships on the sea. But when he saw that ship was damaged, he left it. And he might have killed the people, so he left them. What we learn there is, these poor people, they were poor, but they actually used their asset in terms of sadaqah. They made sadaqah with it. They gave someone free journey. They gave free journey to Nabi Musa and Khidr, alayhi salam. So Allah saved their asset. You want to save your assets? You want to save your car? You want to save from an accident, your house? Yes, you do the insurance, alhamdulillah. But on top of that, when you use it in the service of Allah, you use your knowledge, for the sake of Allah. Somehow give back to the community. You use your wealth for the sake of Allah. Your children for the sake of Allah. Allah will save it from calamity. Just a trick here. You want to find barakah in your possessions. Use it for Allah. Not all the time. That ship was only used maybe 1 hour for Allah's sake. And Allah saved it completely. Completely from destruction. The other story in Surah Kaf, we know the two orphans. They were orphans. Khidr comes to the city and he sees a wall breaking down and he builds it up. Nabi Musa says, why? Why did you do this? You didn't even take something from these people. We know that then Khidr alayhi salam tells Nabi Musa that under this wall is some money that parents, good parents, left to their orphan children. So there are orphans in the city. Their parents died and they hid some money under this wall. Maybe 10, 20 years later, those orphans will grow up and they'll find that money. What we learn here, sometimes you as a parent makes a sacrifice. You won't see the benefit of it, but your children will see 20, 30 years later. And also just something to think about, no matter where you are today in the dunya, what positions you have, what car you drive, it might not have come one bit from you. It's maybe a grandmother that made tajud that you got that now. A parent that sacrificed that you have that now. You have all these mashallah qualifications. It didn't come from you. It came from someone else's piety Allah puts in your life. So we learn that the taqwa of the parent will enrich the children. Their dunya will increase in the future. The last point, and perhaps the most important point, Allah says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَا. And when your Lord proclaimed, He made adhan, Allah made adhan, رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you give shukr to Allah, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, Allah puts a shadda there, He will definitely increase you. That if you give thanks to Allah for what you have, He will give you more. The more Allah gives, the more shukr you get, Allah gives you more. It's like a win-win constantly. So whatever good you have, whatever you have now, if it's not enough, give shukr for it. You'll see an increase in that. May Allah bless us in what we have. May Allah grant us to earn our money halal and to spend it in a halal way. Next week we'll talk about the things that destroy wealth. The things that actually ruin us completely. We'll talk about those things inshallah next week. Just not many announcements. Any questions, normal, westmuhammad@gmail.com. We continue with our series. We've got our last three mothers, the last three wives of the Prophet ﷺ. We're coming to the end of our series. For those who haven't been part of it, you can join still. Lovely to get to know who your mothers are. The 12 wives of the Prophet ﷺ. If you'd like to be part of it, then mail us burhanul@gmail.com or 084-222-1308. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.